Good morning. Good morning again. If I saw you a bit earlier, I'm always not under the suspicion that everyone's here all at the same time. So it's just good to be here. Thank you so much for the hospitality, for the invitation to do this, and now to be in God's Word. And let's have a word of prayer, and then we'll use the time that we have to focus on what means so much to all of us, and that's Jesus. Heavenly Father, thank you so much for your word. Your word is truth. Your word is life-giving. The vitality that it brings to our lives, it gives us fulfillment to its fullest in every part of who we are if we choose that, Father. And Father, we're grateful we don't have to do it alone, that in Jesus you've given us a family of brothers and sisters, people that can say me too. In the life that we try to live that's pleasing and honorable to you and life-giving to others as well. Father, for your story this morning, for your word, we ask for you to do something we cannot fashion for ourselves. Ask you to move us forward. Ask you to convict us. Ask you to sharpen us, to empower us, to hold us accountable. Father, to forgive us, to enrich us through your story. And we pray, knowing that you hear us and that you love us, and we pray in the name of Jesus. Amen. And so I want you to think about a moment in which you were going to see somebody that you really cared about, perhaps for the last time. You know, a moment to where, you know, you're kind of the one that everyone looks to. You're the one of influence, and you know more about what's going on with you. You know more what's going on even with them. But there's going to be a time coming where you can't necessarily communicate in the way that you always have, and that you need to tell them something. You need to show them something, and your prayer for them is that it would stick, that it would take, and it would actually bless them and even transform them in a way that's for the better. What would you say? I would say that most of us would say something to the effect that, you know, I love you. I've really enjoyed the blessing that God has given me to be in relationship with you, to work with you, to even play with you, to share life in and with you. You know, goodbyes are not always easy, and there's some hard moments of those in our lives. And even Jesus had moments like that. You know, sometimes when we think about the person Jesus, we just assume that, you know, he had it all, you know, figured out in the sense of nothing was really going to affect him. But we forget that the fully God Jesus was also what? Fully human Jesus. And he felt precisely exactly what we feel as he did life the way we do life. He had relationships. He had people that he cared about. He had responsibilities that he knew that were directly tied to other people that he served and loved. And so when we get to John's gospel, and we have a different Jesus in John's gospel, we have a Jesus that is more out there, more transparent, to use that buzzword, more completely, you know, opened up to the people around him. It's not that way in the other gospels. You have a Jesus that says, I and the Father are one. If you have seen me, what? You have seen the Father. I am the bread of life. I am living water. I am the vine, and you are the branches. I have come that you, or they, might have life and have it to its fullest. I mean, Jesus is out there, putting himself out there as the one that came from God, as John said, the Word that was God and was with God came to us. And as you work your way through John's gospel, you see this Jesus that's out there, much more vulnerable. He's not the secret Messiah Jesus of Mark of Matthew, of Luke. He doesn't necessarily tell people, don't go and tell people what I've done. He doesn't seem to care. He's much more, as the book said, the maverick Messiah. When it comes time that Jesus knows that he's about to experience something that only he can really understand. You enter into the part of John's gospel starting in John 13 to the end that I think they are the most intimate moments of Jesus and his followers. I mean, if you just thumb through John's gospel and you work from, you know, even John 12 toward the crucifixion scene, toward the resurrection scene, you see that there is so many red letters. There's these long discourses of Jesus talking to his followers. He's got a lot on his heart. He's got a lot on his mind. And he's sitting here with people that he has called friends. And we know what? You lay your life down for your friends. He changes the relationship. He takes it from, you know, just a, you know, a master and students to, I would give myself for you. And you get to these moments in John 14, 13, 14, 15, and Jesus says some really important, really significant things for the hearers in this story. But just like in most stories in the Bible, what people hear in this story is very beneficial, very valuable for us as well. Let me pose the question, do you want to be at home with God? I mean, that's an easy question to pose inside a church building full of believers. I mean, it has a rhetorical response, whether you say it or not. There's no one in here that would stand up and say, I don't want to have anything to do with God. I don't want to have anything to do with the finality of my life in terms of God. No, we're all here this morning because we know in the knowledge of God where it ranges in what we all understand and don't understand as we all come into a room that overall one thing said is we care about who God is. And as we read his story and we fall in love, a pure and unconditional love with who God is from the beginning to the end and how that climaxes at the person and in the person Jesus, we say, I want to be part of that. The words we use in Bible class is, I want to share time and space with my Creator, with my Father, the one in whom I'm made in His image. You can't read about God without being drawn to the notion of God. And so it seems here in chapter 14 of John, we can resonate in verse 8. I'm looking at when Philip, Jesus is saying what? He says what you sometimes hear at funerals for encouragement. I have this little placard on one of my shelves in my office because my grandmother gave it to me. You know, he says, let not your heart be troubled. You believe in God, believe also in me. And we know about the houses with many rooms, and I wouldn't have lied to you. If I go to prepare a place for you, I will come again and receive you unto me, that where I am, you're there you will be also. And they wanted to know, how do we get there? And he says, I'll come get you. And then Philip says in verse 8, they're hearing all this really alienated language from Jesus that you're going away, you're going to change, we want you to be this, we want you to stay here. And Jesus is saying, no, you don't understand, you're going to be troubled, your heart's going to be broken, but I'm telling you, it's going to get better after it gets worse. And so Philip says, he's kind of buying into this, and in verse 8, Philip says to him, Lord, show us the Father, and it is enough. And Jesus, kind of taken aback, have I been with you so long, and you still don't know me, Philip? And here's that, what we've already said, whoever has seen me has seen the Father. How can you say to me, show us the Father? You know, it's a question that all of us have had. What is God like? Who is God?
And people have built careers and built degrees and even built theological schools and university bodies upon the notion, the idea of trying to explain what is so unknown about the divine, the ultimate. And no doubt that was also a question of the ancient world. Even within Jerusalem, I mean, things had been sort of dead and flatlined for quite some time. You know, there used to be a little bit of a fire in the belly of people about the notion of God and His temple and His presence and His own coming future for His people. But when Rome takes over, it seems that here we go again. People who don't know God are in control. They have authority. People are somewhat surviving. And along comes this Jesus person. It says, I am God. If you have seen me, you have seen the Father. Look no further. I am what God is now doing anew. I am now where all the space and time and energy and will of God has chosen to dwell in your midst. And this was the message of Jesus. And so it's even here in this moment where he tells them that, you know, you haven't really understood who I am if you think that there's something different about who God is out there, up there, and what you're seeing right here. And so Jesus takes them further and he tells them, I'm going to promise you this. There is someone coming, even God himself, the Spirit, who's going to help you. Who's going to take you in the direction and to remind you of everything that I've reminded you of and taught you. And he's going to show you in that direction. The world doesn't know him. The world doesn't receive him. But you will know him because he dwells in you. And this is directly from John 14, verses 15, 16, and 17. And in verse 18, Jesus says, I won't leave you as orphans, but I will come to you. Yet a little while, and the world will see me no more, but you will see me because I live, you also will live. What is Jesus saying? He's saying, I'm going to be gone. The way that you understand me, the way that you know me, it's going to be gone. But I want you to understand that what you've seen in me is what God, who God is. So you have arrived at what you've been searching for. If you're searching for God, if you want to join hands with God, if you want to share life with God, if you want to share time and space and be in the dimensional, energetic presence of God, then pay attention to me, Jesus says. And he also says, we're not going to let you do it alone. We're going to send you a helper. We're going to send you a comforter. We're going to give you the Spirit. And he's going to usher you along this way. And then in verse 21 or verse 20 of John 14, Jesus starts to say some really interesting things, some constructs of thought that I want to share with you and even leave you with, because it is in and of itself the invitation. It's the invitation of God. And it applies to all of us this morning. Because we all want to have something to do with God. We all want to be close in the presence of God. We all want to find what we were created to be. And we all believe, because we believe the Bible, we believe the story of Jesus, that he has everything and all things to do with that. And so in verse 20, he says, in that day you will know that I am in my Father, and you are in me, and I in you. Verse 21, whoever has my commandments and keeps them, it is he who loves me, and he who loves me will be loved by my Father, and I will love him and show myself to him. Judas, not Iscariot, said to him, Lord, how is it that you will show yourself to us and not the world? And Jesus answered, if anyone loves me, he will keep my word, and my Father will love him, and we will come to him and make our home with him. Whoever does not love me does not keep my words, and the word that you hear is not mine only, but the Father who sent me. You want to be at home in God? You want to have a home with God? Jesus says, I'll tell you precisely and exactly how to do that. Because that was the business of Jesus. What all of this is about right here is, I have come to do God's work, and that is what? God wants to reclaim you. God is in the business of people. God's focus is on people. It's not on all this other stuff sometimes that gets wrapped into the corpus of church and Christian life. As important as all those other things may be, when it boils down, God says, I am here for people, to reclaim those that I lost. He wants to take us back. If you are in the Bible class, he wants to take us back to that intimate notion of the garden where he is with us, because that's how the Bible ends. It ends with what in the book of Revelation? That the new heaven and the new earth, this idea of New Jerusalem, came down, and in the midst of that were no tears, no crying, no pain, but also what? That God was in the midst of his people. He was their God, and they were his people. That's where it all began, and that's where it's all going to end. Book end. And Jesus says here in John 14, if you want in on that, I'll tell you the secret. And it's going to sound just like a lot of things sound that are so true and so subtle. He says, it's going to be, the secret is, you're going to love. That's like a doctor telling you, go, you want to feel better? Eat healthy and exercise. And I walk out and go get a cheeseburger. Right? You don't want cavities? Brush your teeth. You know, it's just one of those simple, subtle truths that is so illuminated over and over. Jesus here, because John is the apostle of love, right? He says, if you want to be at home with God, as he says, if you want to be in me and I in you and you in the Father and the Father in you and we're all there together, if you want to be at home in God, he says, keep my commands. What is the commands, Jesus? That you love one another the way that I've loved you. In John 13, after he washes their feet, he says, a new commandment I give you, this is verse 31, that you love one another the way that I have loved you. That is how the world will know you belong to me. It's not about anything else. It's not about how big our ministries are and the expenses and the budget with that. It's not about our haircuts and what we wear and what we don't wear. It's not how we vote or how we don't vote. As important as we might think all those things can be, and certainly they are in certain contexts, when it comes down to it, if you don't have any business with love, unfortunately, you don't have any business with God. How do you know you belong to God? Jesus says, if you love one another's the way that I have loved you. I might love you as best I can, but that's not my standard. Jesus says your standard is that you love somebody else the way that I have loved you, and conversely, the way I have loved them, sacrificially, unconditionally. Get down on your hands and feet and you serve them. That's what Paul said in the Christ hymn in Philippians 2, that if you want to have anything to do with Jesus, have this mind in you that was in Jesus. Put others first. Serve your way to the top of the understanding of who God is. We all want to be at home in God. We all want that, I hope, now, and not just at the proverbial end of all things. You know, that's a notion that sometimes gets lost, that God wants us to be even at home, even though we are away. I mean, the apostles talk about this. Paul is big on this, that we can experience that oneness, that homeness with God, even now, as we await the full ideal revealing of that later. You want to wake up every day and say, it's me and God today. That He's here, I'm in His presence, and whatever I'm going to do today is going to be with Him right there by my side. Even when I fall, I will be convicted of that. I know where to go. I know how to act in terms of my attitude and my heart towards that. Everything I do, all the space that I have, all the time that I consume and deal with, all the efforts and energies that I put out there is all in tandem with who God is. You will have to be about love for all that to be true. Because in loving people is where the knowledge of God really comes to light. When you love people, you start to understand what it was like to be like Jesus. When you love people, when you serve people, when you look for the glory of God and the benefit of others around you, that's where you start to see where God is and who God is. And in John 5, Jesus tells you what? My Father is always working. So never think that any day out there is void of the presence and of the truth and of who God is. You can join in that every day, every moment. But you're going to have to discover love and be obedient to that love. Only through that will we ever be at home in our hearts, in our minds, with God. It is my prayer that as my congregation is striving to do that, that the Netherland congregation up here is also striving to do that. And that's what's so awesome about the family of God is no matter where we go and where we are, we're all part of that one big pulse of loving others and loving God all the same. And if you are here this morning, I know without any doubt that there are people here on the leadership team. There are elders here. There are people sitting around you that says, this is the kind of place where someone comes to term with that. If someone wants a better life, if someone wants a fuller life, if someone wants to feel like they have finally reached the full notion that I am at peace with God, the invitation that Jesus gave in John 14 is also invited here this morning. Come and be at home in God by accepting Jesus as Lord and Savior. Then you can fully understand and fully grow in what that will look like and what that will be like. It's also the place. It is your biggest asset and your largest resource of encouragement. No one in here should ever say, you don't belong here. Because everyone in here can always say, you know what? That's just like what I go through. That's me too. And this is the place where you find encouragement. This is where the place where you find the way back into the home with God. And so if you are here this morning and you want to use this time for you to God's glory, to God's peace, we invite you to come and make that known. And won't you come and make that known as together we stand and sing.